Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Once again, you heard the sound of rock cracking. This is Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and you're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. Glad to have you. And yes, rocks were splitting in the state of Nevada at the Democratic National Convention last week. We're going to tell you a little bit about that, as a lot of news has come rushing in. And one of the things that you're going to get on this week's show is an exclusive. Last week, we told you about the meeting with Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, and Donald Trump, and they're starting to get together. But right after that meeting, Donald Trump met with United States Senator Roger Wicker and a few others in Senate leadership, and we're going to let you know exactly what they talked about, because Doc Holliday has an exclusive interview with U.S. Senator Roger Wicker and talked to him just the night after he talked to Donald Trump. So we're going to be playing that for you today to get you some inside view of what's going on in this Trump campaign and how Trump and the Republicans are starting that romancing dance that I mentioned last week. You didn't listen to last week's show? Go back and take a listen. In this week's show, not only do we have the U.S. Senator Roger Wicker interview, but we're also going to talk about Hillary is still feeling the burn, especially in the state of Nevada. We got some clips from the Wasserman Schultz, head of the DNC. And also, we'll have a little clip from that convention and why so many people were upset. And we'll talk something about conventions and how impediment of freedom of speech plays out in frustration in some of these conventions. And I was able to see some of that in a state convention. And what I want to tell you is you're getting some inside views right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You won't get anywhere else. We appreciate your listening. Tell your friends and neighbors. This has been an exciting election year. Nobody would have predicted that it would come down to Donald Trump. Few people thought a year ago that Donald Trump would last a very long and he would finally be out at least by Christmas. He is now the presumptive Republican nominee. And I tell you, I got plans to go to Cleveland for the GOP convention. And we'll try to get you some inside, and I'll get you some inside of what's going on the convention floor. Doc Holliday's going to be there in Cleveland, Lord willing, if the creek doesn't rise. Have you ever heard that expression? If the creek don't rise, well, I may be flying, so I won't have to worry about creeks as much as the long lines of the going through security at the airport. But hopefully in July, Doc Holliday will be there to help tell you what's going on at the Republican National Convention. Now, listen, not only do we have that going on, but I do want to tell you that I said last week, follow the money. And there's a movie actually coming out, Following the Money, about Hillary Clinton. When the Democratic National Convention comes around in July, there's a movie that's going to hit the theaters talking about the corruption of Crooked Hillary. We'll tell you a little bit more about as that comes out, and some details about that comes out. But also, Follow the Money. I talked about it last week, and we're going to start right there. Follow the Money. What's happening in the Republican Party? Well, the RNC, the Republican National Committee, and the Trump campaign have put together a deal. They have a fundraising deal that they've put together and signed. It's in place. And under this deal, reported by the Wall Street Journal, Trump's campaign and the RNC will raise funds for two PACs, political action committees. One is called the Trump Victory, and the other is Trump Make America Great Again Committee. So there's two funds, two PACs. And this is all legalized through the Federal Elections Commissions, and this is what happens. Explaining the deal, the money raised for the first PAC will go, and this is the Trump Victory PAC, will go toward the RNC, Republican National Committee, and the Donald J. Trump for President campaign. And, I said, and the state committees in 11 states. I bet you think it's the swing states. No, it's the 11 states of Arkansas, Connecticut, Louisiana, Mississippi, New Jersey, New York, South Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Now, Virginia is probably a swing state. The others, I don't know. So follow the money. Now, why are those committees in 11 states included in this PAC to raise money? Well, it's an important PAC because, and now I know the Federal Election Commission, when I ran for Congress last year, there is a limit and of what you can give for a federal campaign, which is $2,700 per election. If you give them directly, individual donors can only do that. But when you work through these fundraising groups and PACs, individuals will be able to cut checks as $449,400. Individuals can't. You remember last week, in last week's show, I said, now, if Donald Trump tries to raise $1 billion to help these PACs that are helping the Republican National Committee, who helped the Senate and the House, wow. Now, that would be some mega money. Maybe his friends are going to kick in. You know, during the campaign, Donald Trump said, hey, I got friends who will give me $25 million. I said, no, I don't want it. I don't want to be tied down. But now in the general election, singing a different tune because he sees what's at stake. And, in fact, we're going to talk about that a little bit with U.S. Senator Roger Wicker. In fact, let's listen to part of the interview right now, United States Senator Roger Wicker, and the sound is not the very best. I had to catch him at an event in Jackson, Mississippi last week, but take a listen.
Senator, you said you spoke with Donald Trump just yesterday in a leadership meeting of the Senate.
That's right. Donald Trump came in and he spoke to the national chairman, Reince Priebus, and then the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan. And after that, he moved over onto the Senate side, and they met in the building where I'm the chairman, the National Republican Senatorial Committee. And we had a meeting with him and the leadership, and it just couldn't have gone any better. We had Mitch McConnell there from Kentucky, our majority leader, John Cornyn from Texas, the whip. Of course, the president pro tem of the Senate was there, and Senator Orrin Hatch, and other elected and appointed members of the Republican leadership. I think the emphasis was on unity. The emphasis was on the number of issues where we are united. In particular, I had a nice conversation with him about the United States Supreme Court. It's so important that the next 4 years of Supreme Court nominees come from someone who understands limited government, and of course the last person on earth that needs to be appointing nominees to Supreme Court is Hillary Clinton.
So do you feel...
And I'll interrupt right here in our interview with Senator Wicker, and I'll say that, you know, after I spoke with him during the weekend and the following week, we heard last week where Donald Trump did put out 11 names. And if you may notice, some of those 11 names are in swing states of conservative judges that the Heritage Foundation and the Federalist Society, which is a very strong conservative group of lawyers, Donald Trump listed 11 conservatives that he said he would most likely pick from. You did notice how he didn't say he 100% would pick from, but that still is to help ease the conservative minds of who he would pick, just like Roger Wicker.
United on that.
Do you feel confident that Donald Trump would support conservative judges?
Donald Trump said he was not only going to listen to Jeff Sessions, a stalwart senator from Alabama, but also that he would be looking to the type of people suggested by the Federalist Society. And, of course, that would be people like Judge Scalia, who believed in limited government strict interpretation of the United States Constitution. So I think as long as a President Donald Trump is going to look to the conservative activists on the Federalist Society, I think we'll be proud of his nominees to U.S. Supreme Court.
So I believe you can see after that meeting with Donald Trump that U.S. Senator Roger Wicker feels confident in conservative judges being nominated to the United States Supreme Court. And now in the second half of the show, we're going to ask U.S. Senator Roger Wicker, because he's on a committee to help reelect Republican senators. He's the chairman of that committee, and it's his job and responsibility to help keep Republicans the majority in the United States Senate. So that's very important to him. And we'll talk with U.S. Senator Roger Wicker in that half of the interview about how he feels about Donald Trump helping with that. So, and again, it goes back to what I just mentioned about raising money. So that's always an important position in decision-making and how to raise money to get candidates elected. So we'll be doing that on the second half of the show. But first, let's talk a bit about the Democratic side. What about Hillary Clinton? She's still feeling the burn. She feels the burn from Bernie Sanders. And nothing really eclipsed what happened last weekend and at the Nevada State Democratic Convention. Wolf Blitzer talked to the campaign manager of Bernie Sanders, and this is what his campaign manager had to say. And then we'll hear from Wasserman Schultz, the head of the DNC.
We do not condone any kind of violence or threats. That's unacceptable. Bad language. That's unacceptable. But we are not going to allow the millions of people who supported Bernie Sanders to be sort of rolled over in places like Nevada by the way they handled that convention.
The Sanders campaign says that the Nevada State Party, the Democratic Party, prevented a fair and transparent process. Was it unfair?
Well, first of all, let me just reiterate that the Democratic National Committee remains neutral in this primary based on our rules. But when I heard what happened at the Nevada State Democratic Convention this weekend, I was deeply disturbed. Regardless of any campaign or candidate's frustration over process, there should never be a but when it comes to condemning violence and intimidation. Violence and intimidation are never acceptable under any circumstances, and what happened at that convention was unacceptable. I was not at the convention, and the Democratic National Committee didn't have anything to do with the way the meeting was run, but the bottom line is that we've had the same rules in place, that elected Barack Obama, and these rules were adopted for state parties all across the country in 2014. They were followed, and even if the Sanders supporters were frustrated, there is never, under any circumstance, a place for violence and intimidation to be resorted to in response.
Congresswoman, the Nevada State Democratic Party said, and I'm quoting now, that Sanders campaign staff and supporters incited violence and chaos. Those are pretty strong words. Does the DNC believe the Sanders campaign, that staffers actually incited violence?
Well, like I said, I was not there.
And she was not there, but she also was not there, you remember, for a lot of these anti-protesters at Trump rallies. And I'm not saying the DNC sent them, but all the violence that the media has just talked about at Trump rallies. And then I can't remember anybody throwing chairs. Throwing chairs at people at the Democratic State Nevada Convention and threatening the chairperson, the chairwoman, with her life and her children's life. Wow. Now that, she's right to condemn. There's no place in politics for that. But this is between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton when it's going on. Wasserman Schultz finished up her statement, and then I got something to say, and you'll want to hear this.
I do know, because there was video and acknowledgement, that chairs were thrown at the stage, that violence was used, that the state party chair, Roberta Lang, who has worked in the trenches to elect Democrats for decades, has been threatened. Her children, her child has had implied threats where people have called and said they know where her child goes to school. This is unacceptable behavior. And the Sanders campaign and Senator Sanders himself should not only outright condemn that specific conduct, but they also need to take steps to prevent it and make sure that their supporters understand that the most important and correct way to respond to any frustration they have over process is to be civil and orderly, not respond with violence and intimidation. And that needs to be unequivocally condemned. And unfortunately, it has not been unequivocally condemned.
Now, that's something I can agree with the chair of the Democratic National Committee. You know, there's no place for violence. Look, I told you I'm planning on going to Cleveland, Ohio for a GOP convention. But there's not a place for violence. And this, there'll be a lot of emotions all over from now to November. There's not a place for violence. There's not a place. There's people who speak their mind. We need freedom of speech. Done in a civilized way. Throwing chairs is not going to get it. And now listen, in just a minute, I'm going to play a few seconds of what happened that made some people so mad at the Nevada State Democratic Convention. And this is a clip from YouTube. So I want you to listen to that. Before we do, let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. We're glad to have you. New listeners are coming in every week because this exciting election, 2016, we've been covering it in a way you don't hear anywhere else. And just like today, we got this exclusive interview with Senator Roger Wicker, who had just spoken with Donald Trump. You know, we don't filter out the news through about a bunch of different organizations. We just go right to the source there. And I'm glad that we had U.S. Senator Roger Wicker to speak with us. For my audience that's been there for years, you know we're striving for more liberty, more freedom. Get involved and stay involved. Don't get frustrated the way the system may be and you feel like you can't, don't have a voice. You get involved and stay involved. Sometimes you take a licking and keep on ticking. And Donald Trump has brought in more excitement than anybody would ever have dreamed. Hey, did you understand we are making history? You and me and America walking together in this election? This is history. And history books 100 years from now will record 2016 as one of the most unusual elections. Republican nomination, 17 people running. Donald Trump, with no political experience, just ran over everybody like a buzzsaw. We've talked about it right here on this show. So go back and listen to archives. And the other thing you need to remember is we run this show by you buying our books. And you can go to, on the front page of that website. And we appreciate those who have bought books. And you go to Amazon if you got an Amazon card. Or you can buy it direct right on the website. So go there. Order the book. We got a new book called Bedrock Truths, 8 Uncompromising Principles for America Now. It's not just me, right? I got chapters in it along with Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King Jr. And also we have Dr. Alex McFarland, known in many circles around the nation. He's preached in all 50 states. And so we have put together this book that will help guide conservatives on how to stand during elections. So you can order that book by going right to the front page of this website, Rock Splitting Politics. Click on the cover. And there's other books you can order. We appreciate that. And we will continue to bring you some unique and insightful commentary you don't get anywhere else. And right now, listen to what happened at the end of the Nevada State Democratic Convention. Now, a lot of that was incoherent, I realize, and I did edit to that because there were some obscenities in that piece from YouTube, but that was at the end. That was the chair lady. If you could hear, you probably couldn't have all the yelling, the booing and the screaming and the yelling, and the chair lady said, as in a motion to end the convention, she asked for those four aye, and then you heard a few ayes, and you heard all of those opposed no, and you couldn't hear anything, and she said, the convention is concluded, it's over. She slammed down the hammer and walked away from the podium, and that was chaos, and people were upset because they didn't want the convention to close. And she obviously didn't recognize the crowd that was booing her and screaming at her. I was at the Mississippi State Republican Convention last week, and I have to say there were people who wanted to say more, and I believe there needs to be a process where more can be said. At the same time, when there's slates of candidates, you got to know that a party, Democrat or Republican, wants to vet some of who's going to be representing them, who's going to be representing them for the next 4 years in some cases on state executive committees. So there is a need for that. There's also a need to hear the American people. This is the process. You got to remember, it's not the government ruling the parties. Parties are private organizations. And they work together. What a party's for is to bring people together to maximize the union of people that plan with the same ideas. That's why you got platforms. That's why you have the party machinery. And as much as people hate it, you can go out and be a third party candidate or you can be an independent, but it's hard to beat the group of people who combine into a party, be it a Democrat or Republican. And if you really want to go and see and be a part where there's more than two parties, so people go, I wish I had more choice. Well, you do, but you have to move to Europe. America's all its existence has pretty much been two major parties. Unlike most democracies or republics around the globe, America has two major parties. So that is what we're put up with. So my suggestion is to get involved in the party, work from the inside, and get more openness, more of what you want. But, you know, kicking and screaming, well, you can see, you can hear what was going on there at the end of the Nevada Democratic State Convention. I believe a chairperson should recognize someone. In some cases, they don't. Now, in the where I was at the Republican State Convention in Mississippi, there were some people very frustrated with the way things were going. They rose, and every time somebody rose, the chairperson there recognized them. The chairperson of the party recognized everybody that he saw stand up. I think he did a good job. When you get 280 people in a room thereabouts that can stand up and make a motion, it could be a long, long convention, especially if you don't have some things outlined. So there's a process, and each state does it differently. So maybe each state can learn from others. But I do say get involved. But that's what I've been saying for years on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. It's easy to criticize, and it's hard to get involved. And you can't start and say, this is what we got to do. Well, sometimes it takes years in a process of learning people, knowing people, and getting things done a little at a time. Sometimes you can be Donald Trump and you can take over a whole party, but that's very rare. And look, he's 70 years old and he walks in, and it wasn't like one day he decided he's going to run for president. He has been thinking this out. In fact, in the 1980s, it was told Richard Nixon said, you need to run for president. You'll win. Because he has that personality, even back in the 1980s. So he's flirted with it. But now, at 70, he's running. He's won the Republican nomination. Yes, you can walk in, but you got to have something that really, really attracts people. And Donald Trump obviously does. He's got more votes than any Republican who's ever run in a primary before. So those are my thoughts right there. I'm glad that the Nevada State Democratic Convention didn't have injuries, but that we need to keep in mind this is for America, and this there may be some name-calling, and there may be some mudslinging, but there is no room for violence in the Democratic process, the Republican process, the general election. No room for violence. This is America. Speak up, speak out, speak freely, and respect another person's opinion and respect their ability for free speech. Now, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and Donald Trump is being shunned by some folks, and this is what he might say back to the conservatives who are thinking about, I'd rather Hillary Clinton win than Donald Trump. Maybe he's singing this tune.
You never take advice. Someday you'll pay the price. I know. I've seen it before. It happens all the time. You're closing the door. You leave the world behind. You're digging for gold. You're going away. A fortune in feelings. But someday you'll pay.
Will those who are shunning Donald Trump now and refusing to come into the fold, they're hanging on to the Never Trump movement. They're hanging on, hoping they'll become a third-party candidate that they can hold on to. I have one word to say to those who want Hillary Clinton to win. That a third-party candidate's not going to cut it. That's how Clinton has always gotten into the White House. That's what happened in 92 and 96. And there are those who are playing right into the Clinton playbook if you put together a third-party conservative candidate to go against Donald Trump. And this is how you solve the problem. And tell your friends, and I'll tell this to Mitt Romney, I'll tell this to Bill Kristol, look, if you can't stand to mark the ballot for Donald Trump, hold your nose, close your eyes, and mark the ballot for the Republican nominee. It's that easy. It's that simple. The Republican nominee will have the backup power of the Republican platform and Republicans across the country. So vote for the Republican nominee. Don't call his or her name, okay? Just act like you have no clue who it is. If you got to hold your nose, but you vote for the Republican nominee. Now tell your friends and neighbors that's how you get it done. And now, let's end up the show with, I asked Senator Roger Wicker, that's talking about how important it is for the Republicans as a whole. We know we talked about Donald Trump will be raising money for the RNC. Let's see what U.S. Senator Roger Wicker said about unifying behind Donald Trump.
Senator, you're in charge of making sure the Senate stays Republican for the election this year. That's your job.
So now, I'm chairman of the committee that's okay. In charge of that, and I'm working very
I
hard to do that.
I respect you but tell me, how do you see Donald Trump playing? Do he have coattails? Do you have any special strategies for Donald Trump helping push senators into winning some seats?
Well, I think, first of all, I think Donald Trump is going to win the presidency. And I think he's going to carry votes that we haven't had in a long time. If Donald Trump on the top of the ticket puts Pennsylvania in play, I think it puts Wisconsin in play. Those are two states where we have really very, very hard-fought Senate races also. So in some states, the candidates may feel differently, and we'll take it state by state. But basically, I can tell you he wants a Republican Senate. He realizes that as President of the United States, he'll need to get his program through. And so I think we're united on that also. Let me just say, in 2010, we elected 24 Republican senators and only 10 Democrat senators. Now, 6 years later, we have to defend those 24 seats. So our very success 6 years ago means that we have a lot of work to do this year. But the good news is the senators that are in tough races are very, very outstanding, well-spoken, hardworking one of them is going to make a compelling case to be reelected. We have some open seats, Indiana and Florida. We have a good nominee now in Indiana. And Todd Young, a Marine, a member of the House of Representatives. We're still awaiting our primary in Florida, but I feel good all over the country. And I'll tell you also, in the state of Nevada, where Harry Reid's had a chokehold on that state, he is retiring, and we intend to elect Joe Heck, a general in the Army, a doctor in his own right, and a congressman in a Democrat-leaning district. We're going to elect Joe Heck as a Republican senator from Nevada.
I remember I was with you that night in 2010, and I know you were wishing the Republicans had enough to swing the...
That's right. You know, it seems like a long time ago, and I was disappointed that we didn't win the Senate that year, but to think that we won 24 out of 34 seats, we did pretty well.
That was huge.
We just had so much territory to cover.
Well, thank you, Senator.
Good to be with you, Doc. Always. Thank you.
That was our exclusive interview with Roger Wicker, U.S. Senator Roger Wicker of Mississippi. But let me just tell you, after he spoke with Donald Trump, I believe you see people getting on the Trump train, knowing Trump can win, but not only win, seeing the importance building Trump coattails. And that means, like we spoke of, Trump raising money for the RNC to help out in the Senate races and the House races. So you can see how important unity is, and Donald Trump, being the the Trumpster he is, will he help the Republican Party? Yes, he will. And you see, if Trump wants to get things done, he does not need a Harry Reid, although Harry's not running for re-election. He does not need the Democrats trying to block him. He needs a Republican House majority and a Republican Senate majority. So they're going to have to work together, Trump and all the Republican Party. So you heard it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And next week, we're going to continue on with what is going on in this crazy political world. What rocks will fall next week? You'll hear it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.